Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. While the internet and cell phones have made being a teenager far more engaging for many, there is also a dark side to the use of technology. It's something that a new book written by a journalism class at Michigan State University investigates. Joe Grimm is the instructor of the class, and the book is titled The New Bullying: How Social Media, Social Exclusion, Laws, and Suicide Have Changed Our Definition of Bullying and What to Do About It. Joe, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you for inviting us, Michael.
So tell me, how did your class go about putting this book together? Were teens that they did interview identified, or were some interviews done anonymously?
We had a little of both. We had some teens and adults who did not care to be named because they thought there would be reprisals. And we had some people as young as middle schoolers who would talk about the bullying situation, because it touches everybody's life. Either you're a target, or you're a bully, or you're certainly a bystander. So sometimes it's okay to talk about bullying, and you don't have to really fear recriminations.
So how much social media bullying and online bullying is going on right now that adults may not be aware of?
It happens a lot. There are studies about what teens' experiences are online, and most teens say they see what they would call mean behavior or aggressive behavior online, not always directed at them, but that doesn't mean it does not affect them. If you see somebody ganging up on somebody in a group that maybe you identify with, you can feel that. So the internet can be a scary place for some folks.
Well, so how are teens reacting? It seems that, especially on the internet, you can be attacked by somebody you know or by somebody that is anonymous. How are teens responding to this reality?
Well, there's a couple of responses, and they're almost opposite. Some teens are using the internet to fight back against bullying. We've seen an Ann Arbor teen recently lobby and gain hundreds of thousands of signatures from people who wanted to change the rating for the new documentary, Bully. She's acting in, I'd say, a positive way. In other cases, we've seen teens take their own lives because it seems that online bullying may have been a trigger that caused them to take that step. So it runs in both directions.
I'm talking to Joe Grimm, an instructor at the Michigan State University School of Journalism, whose class put together a book titled The New Bullying: How Social Media, Social Exclusion, Laws, and Suicide Have Changed Our Definition of Bullying and What to Do About It. So, Joe, give me an example of how social media is used for bullying. Were there any stories that really stayed with you?
Well, there are several ways, and in fact, we had several people come speak to our class about bullying. Kevin Epling, who's a leading anti-bullying activist, came and was very helpful to us. A couple of state senators came, and the senators talked about the kinds of messages and harassment that parents were bringing in, saying, "This is what my daughter received, and she just feels horrible about it." The Pew study of internet behavior, in which they surveyed the teens about their experiences online, said that many teens feel like they don't want to go to school because of stuff that happens online. And we talked to teachers who said, "Well, we can pretty well control what's going on in the classroom, but we have no control over what happens at night while our students are at home on their cell phones, and other teens are ganging up on them." And that stuff comes to school then.
So, what can teens really do, though? I mean, if you decide to have an online presence, either through Facebook or another outlet, you're going to be vulnerable to being attacked. And knowing the way teenagers act, someone at some point is going to do just that. Are teens just accepting that that is what is likely going to happen at some point?
Well, I've talked to teens who take holidays from being online, some who don't want to be online. Most, of course, do, and they have a right to be there, and it's an important way for them to keep up with their friends and the news and everything else. I think what we need to be most concerned about are the cases where somebody really starts to be affected by this bullying and hasn't talked to anybody. So I would advise teens to to talk to somebody, talk out what's going on, talk to their parents, talk to their teachers. In a lot of cases, they just sort of live silently with that. And if it gets to be overwhelming, it can feel pretty alone.
I mean, do teens feel that their parents or teachers can really help in any specific way?
I think this is why they don't talk to us. I think they say, well, gosh, he doesn't really know what I'm going through. How do I explain this? How do I even know that this is really what you would call bullying? One of the things we found as we were doing the new bullying was that a lot of people are searching online for definitions of bullying or statistics about bullying. And if you can't describe it or put a number on it, it's hard to know how to deal with it. And I think that teens feel this, and so they don't take those issues to other people for help. But I think that's critical. And that's one of the main points in that documentary, Bully.
When you talk about the laws that are now in place and are slowly being incorporated in terms of rules in our schools on bullying, do teenagers feel that they're having any real impact?
I'd say the feeling about rules is pretty mixed. And I don't think a rule can really do much about this. Where I think we're having the greatest success is in cases where it sort of bubbles up from the students, and the students say, we're not going to take this, we're going to stand up for our school, we're going to stand up for each other. I think there's a growing pressure, and as we were working on the new bullying, we found more and more people saying, it is not okay to just be a bystander when bullying goes on. You have to say something. You have to say, hey, knock it off, leave that guy alone, and make it so that it's uncomfortable to have that kind of behavior in the places where you live. Pew looked at whether that happens online, and they said a lot of the teens who see bullying online don't do anything about it. And they said, now don't judge the teens. It could be that they're either thinking, well, if I intervene, that is more fuel for the bullies. They feel like they're getting more attention, or I could become a target. And it may be a strategy to just ignore aggressive behavior online as a way to discourage it.
I do want to ask you about, we see these commercials warning teenagers not to put themselves out there on the internet in ways that make them potentially vulnerable to harassment. How much do teens that you talk to express regret over things that they've, either pictures they've posted or things they've said online that are now coming back to haunt them?
Not too much of that. We find that a lot of times the aggressive behavior that happens is somebody else picking on you, calling you names, organizing people to not hang around with you. That's called social exclusion. It's a form of bullying that came up in the classes that we were working on the new bullying. The really extreme cases where maybe two teens break up and somebody circulates by text a picture that the other teen sent can pretty quickly lead to a pretty serious place where what we're really talking about is, in its worst case, it could be circulating what is under the law, child pornography, cyber stalking. You could be talking about felonies with major penalties on them. Those happen. They're kind of rare, but they do happen. And students really need to, well, all of us really need to understand that when you use a computer to do those things now, because of the Patriot Act and some of the laws that have been passed in the past dozen years, something that is so easy and impulsive to do can actually be treated as a felony.
Social exclusion, interesting what you mentioned, because typically, I guess in any school environment, there is that situation where someone might be targeted as a pariah. But you're saying now there are actual online decisions made by big groups of students to directly exclude one student?
Well, typically it's led by sort of a bully leader who might say, okay, this is our group. I'm mad at this person over here, or I'm just trying to show how much power I have, and I'm telling the rest of you that we won't talk to that person and we will leave them out of our activities until I say it's okay to include them. This has happened for a long time. Now it can happen much more efficiently.
It sounds like scary stuff. I'm guessing your conclusion is that you're glad that you're not a teenager at this point in time yourself.
Well, in a lot of ways, I think it is harder nowadays. But these are our children, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins. So it affects all of us. We're getting good responses. The book, The New Bullying, is available for Nooks and Kindles, and it'll be out in paperback real soon. And people are responding to it. They get that bullying has changed, and they're eager to read about what's different with technology. They all guess about cyberbullying, and then when you talk with them, they say, "Oh yeah, and the laws are pretty different now too." So it seems to be a timely book for people.
Joe Grimm, an instructor at the School of Journalism here at Michigan State University. The book, The New Bullying, How Social Media, Social Exclusion, Laws, and Suicide Have Changed Our Definition of Bullying and What to Do About It. Joe, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.